For our scripture reading, would you please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25. Chapter 25. There we have one of the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. We find God's word as follows. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slept. But at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. The door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts this day and to our understanding. Beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus tells here in this parable how 10 young women were invited to a marriage feast. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The wise men showed their wisdom by planning for a possible delay of the bridegroom. They took extra oil for the lamps so that they would be ready when the bridegroom came. The foolish women neglected to do this. And while they waited, they all fell asleep. Suddenly, a cry went out, and the bridegroom was coming. The wise got up, trimmed their lamps. The others recognized that they were out of oil, and they asked to borrow some. "No, no," said the wise. "There may not be enough for us, or for both of us, I should say. Instead, you go out to those who sell and buy some for yourself." Well, the women who were unprepared started off. And while they were gone or on the way, the bridegroom comes. And those who were ready went in with him to the feast. And the door was shut. Sometime later, the foolish virgins returned. What do they find? Well, they found the door barred. "Open the door for us," they cried. But then those chilling words, "I don't know you." And then the conclusion by our Lord, conclusion of this parable, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day nor the hour of my return." Well, there it is. The story is, in many ways, a masterpiece. And it's not difficult, really, to see its main points. Especially is that true of the chief point. The vast difference, hence the title of this message, the difference, the vast difference between the wise and the foolish women. But you know, in many respects, before we focus on that, in many respects they're alike. But in their preparation or lack of it, they were perfect opposites, to be sure. And it's on that difference, beloved, that the lesson of our story turns. And it is beyond question an essential difference. But first, it's worth seeing the ways in which these women were the same. First, all 10 had been invited to the banquet. Now, there may have been many who did not receive an invitation, but each one of these 10 did. And each one was also then anticipating a grand occasion when the bridegroom showed up. And then second, each one had responded to the wedding invitation. We're talking about ways in which they're similar. Each one, all 10, had responded to the wedding invitation. Now, there are some that may have disregarded it or scorned it, as the town people did in a previous parable that I'm sure you're familiar with, Jesus' parable of those invited to the wedding feast when they all came up with excuses, remember? Excuses why they couldn't come. And then finally Jesus sends his disciples out into the byways to bring them in. But that wasn't the case with these women. They all had received an invitation. And all had responded, it looks like all had responded joyfully, which demonstrated, you know, that they were waiting for the bridegroom's appearance. Third similarity, all clearly had some affection and even love, you could say, for the bridegroom. And that was what had brought them to the point in which this story begins. 10 virgins, 10, went out, took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom. And fourth similarity, in spite of their affection, all were alike too, that they became drowsy. They became drowsy and fell asleep, didn't they? All of them fell asleep when the bridegroom was delayed. We're not told for that reason or what the reason was. But then suddenly the bridegroom came. And then at once the similarities, poof, they vanish. And then the essential difference comes to view. Five had oil in their lamps, and five did not. Five were ready. Five were unprepared. And that's the difference. The difference. Now let's apply it. There are many in the church who fit the Lord's description. Because without doubt, this parable applies to the visible church. And that I must say is kind of the scary part. The scary part of this parable. And the setting of these last chapters of Matthew, especially chapters 23 to 25, the setting is the time leading up to the Lord's second coming. So we must say that on the basis of the parable as well as our own observation, that there are people in the church who have heard the invitation of Christ, have responded somewhat, may even have some affection for Jesus, but who are not yet ready to meet him. They do not have that inward change which alone entitles them to enter heaven. And again, that sets before us the vital difference. And that's how the oil in the story must be taken. Now, some have applied it to the Holy Spirit, which is tempting to do since the Holy Spirit is often symbolized by oil in the Scriptures. But if we do that, we start thinking that one can have the Holy Spirit and then kind of run out of him, as it were. And that when one runs out, he needs to buy more of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't fit. It's better to think of the oil simply as an outward preparation. Outwardly, these women were alike. The crucial and determining difference was in here. Spurgeon, I think we're probably familiar with him. Spurgeon obviously thought along these lines, and he wrote in one of his sermons, and I want to quote from his sermon, at least that sermon. Quote, "A great change has to be wrought in you, far beyond any power of yours to accomplish ere you can go in with Christ to the marriage. You must first of all be renewed in your nature, or you will not be ready. You must be washed from your sins, or you will not be ready. You must be justified in Christ's righteousness, and you must have on the proper wedding garments." That earlier paragraph emphasized that. "The proper wedding garments, or else you will not be ready, dressed in Christ's righteousness. You must be reconciled to God. You must be made like to God, or you will not be ready. Or to come to the parable before us, you must have a lamp, and that lamp must be fed with heavenly oil, and it must continue to burn brightly, or else you will not be ready. No child of darkness can go into that place of light. You must be brought out of nature's darkness into God's marvelous light, or else you will never be ready to go in with Christ to the marriage and be forever with him." It's the end of the quote from Spurgeon's sermon. So, first point of the parable then can be stated in a question. Very simply, are you ready? Am I ready? Or are you among those five foolish women who had received the invitation, had responded to it, had some form of affection for the bridegroom, but who were not inwardly prepared? You should be among the wise, who, although they too had fallen asleep, were nevertheless ready. And that is the essential difference again. And on that distinction, that difference, hangs your and my soul's destiny. Am I? Are you ready? Second point of the parable, which we have already hinted at, is that the difference between the condition of the wise and that of the foolish was revealed by the coming of the bridegroom. It revealed itself in crisis. You know, during the days before the wedding or the night leading up to the start of the feast, few had noticed that five women had adequately prepared for the bridegroom's coming. Five had not. But then suddenly the bridegroom's there. And so, you know, the condition of these virgins is revealed in a crisis. During the days before the wedding or the night leading up to the start of the feast, few would have probably noticed that five women had adequately prepared for the bridegroom's coming. Five had not. But then suddenly the bridegroom is there. Suddenly he came, and that distinction becomes immediately apparent. And beloved, the same thing will happen when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Many who thought themselves to be true children of God will be shown not to be. While many who have perhaps fears and doubts about being his children will be revealed to be true believers. But now there's this burning question. How are you and I to know whether we're in one camp or the other? Now, to answer that question, I'd like to make the suggestion that it is not found in the parable itself, but it flows out of it. It is true, or if it's true, that the crisis of the Lord's return and the final judgment that comes with it will bring the real condition of those who profess Christianity, or will reveal the true condition of those who profess Christianity, then is it not also the case that their true confession is revealed by lesser but nevertheless real crisis experiences in their lives now, in your and my life now? Can you not preview the results of the final judgment by the way you and I react to crisis here and now? Here again is how one commentator puts it, and I'm going to read his comments. Quote, "Nothing will more correctly reveal what is in a man than the coming upon him of some crushing and unlooked for, unexpected crisis. Let it be temporal ruin by the failure of his calculations, or the disappointment of all his hopes. Let it be the entrance of the angel, of the death angel into his home, and the removal from it of his nearest and dearest earthly friend. Let it be his own prostration by some serious illness which puts him face to face with his dissolution, and forthwith the extent of his resources is unfolded. And it is at once discovered, both by others and by himself, whether he is guided by unfailing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and sustained by the grace of the Holy Spirit, or whether he has been deceiving himself all the while, relying on some other support. And I think that's some pretty good advice there, isn't it, from this commentator. The difference is often revealed through crises in our lives. Let's look back on your past. Analyze your experience at such testing times. We've all had them. We have all heard already in some form or another that midnight cry, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming." For in every such surprise, Jesus is coming to us. How did we meet him? Did our lamps go out? Or were we able to trim them? Keep them burning brightly through the crisis, through each trial. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, and all shall arise and stand before his great right throne. But that comes in small ways throughout life in the crisis that we experience. How we meet those, how we deal with them, will indicate the essential difference, again, of being prepared. Like the wise virgins. Well, in the time that remains, this parable has at least three more lessons that I want to set before you briefly. First, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ within is not transferable. Let me explain. I do not mean that one saved person may be used of God to bring the gospel to another. Yes, that happens. And of course, Paul speaks of the gospel being passed from faith to faith. That's part of witnessing. I mean, rather this, that no person can get by on another's faith. You cannot be saved by the life of Christ in another person. You know, many people delude themselves along these lines. They do not have true faith in Christ, but they've been exposed to it over a period of years and suppose that in the time of Christ's judgment, they will be able to appeal to God's work in the life of someone close to them. Consider the following scenario. "What right do you have to come into my heaven?" asks the Lord. Well, I don't really know the answer to that, Lord. But I call your attention to my godly mother. Such a godly woman. And I learned a lot from her. I didn't ask that, the Lord replies. I asked, what right do you have to come into my heaven? Well, Lord, look at all my Sunday school teachers. They were godly people. They certainly went out of their way to teach me. They prayed for me. Don't forget them. Again, Jesus replies, what right do you have to enter heaven? And you know, this point, I believe, is the proper understanding of the five wise women refusing to give their oil to the five foolish ones. Now, as a literal story, that seems somewhat uncharitable, doesn't it? The selfless thing for those wise women to do would have been for them to share a little, to share their oil, even if it meant that they themselves would have run out. But you know, this parable, this story is not moving on that level. It is teaching spiritual things, and in particular, that in the day of Christ's coming, each person has to stand on his own. Your mother's faith will not save you. Your wife's faith will not be useful to you. You will not be saved by the spiritual life of your son or daughter. The question will be, where do you stand? Are you alive in Christ? Are you? Am I ready? So, first thing, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ within is not transferable from one to another. Second, lost opportunities cannot be regained. The foolish women set out to buy oil, but the bridegroom was coming then, and they were already too late. The time to have bought oil was past. And so it will be when Christ returns in judgment. Those who are ready will be taken into the marriage feast, and those who are not ready will be shut out. So again, question. Are you ready? Am I ready? If not, now is the day of opportunity. Do not say or think, I will turn to Christ later. I will repent after I enjoy a few more years of sin and worldliness. There's always time for Jesus. You and I don't know that. Today may be the last time that you or I will hear the gospel. And even if it's not, even if one hears it again and again, it will be no easier for you to turn to God later. In fact, the opposite is quite true. the more that one rejects the offer, the free offer of God's grace, the more hardened one becomes, and the more difficult it becomes to repent later. God may still be gracious, may still do a work in you through suffering, misery, and frustration, but he may not. And wisdom tells us to prepare. Be ready. That's why the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation." And then third and finally, the Lord always comes without warning. And he will do so in the day of his second coming. That is why the parable ends the way it does. The way it ends with the words, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Jesus will also come without warning on the day of our death, which amounts to the same thing. And death, beloved, death can come suddenly. And very quickly, you can be in the presence of the Lord. So, are you ready? That's the question. Am I ready? Are you like the five wise young women? Essentially different from the five foolish women. So, beloved, again, the words of Jesus, keep ready. Keep watch, I should say. Keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour in which you will be called and I will be called to stand before him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, dear Lord Jesus, so thankful for the words of this parable. And even though it kind of shakes us up, that's good. Oh Lord, it warns us. It warns us and it teaches us to be ready. To be ready to meet you. For indeed, it is true, we do not know the day or the hour. But Lord, again, we praise you, we thank you for that blessed good news, that blessed hope and assurance that, oh God, one day we can stand in your presence, fully clothed in your righteousness, trusting alone in your grace, in the faith, O God, that you give to us. Lord, hear our prayer. Strengthen us. Prepare us. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.